Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, police.
Oh my God!
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucker!
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Happiest Thursday. We made it to the final podcast of the week. I personally am exhausted. You know who's not exhausted? Bernie Sanders.
I have heard about this.
If you can believe it. If you can believe it. Sanders, we're going to start at the top with this story. Bernie Sanders, former campaign manager Faye Shakur, wrote in a memo to allies this week that Senator Bernie Sanders has not, quote, ruled out a bid for president in 2024. This was a surprise to me. Didn't know how to react. We polled our Instagram audience on this, and it was like literally 50-50, which I thought was fascinating. That's kind of why I wanted to talk about it today, was that it was like straight down the middle. We asked, are you feeling the burn for 2024? And it was completely tied.
I saw that because I made my answer and then I was like, oh my God, it literally says 50-50.
It still does. It's been going back and forth all day. I hope that somebody in the Democratic Party watches those.
Yeah, Bernie's looking at them. Yeah. You should go check the views. It's all Bernie Sanders.
Totally.
Oh man. I'm like, oh God, I wish it was younger.
Yeah, that's honestly my thing is like, you know, last go around, I had we voted in a primary in New York, which we did not. We did not participate in the primaries anyway.
True.
So I did not get to vote in the primary. But if I had, I was going to vote for Bernie. It was like between him and Liz, and I was going back and forth every day. But at the point where things were decided, I was going to Bernie. For someone to be 86 years old at the end of their first term is hard for me.
Yeah.
That's hard for me. And I also just don't understand why you would want to do that.
I know.
At 86
I know.
Years old. Like, when I'm 86, I want to be in a chair and like people can come visit me in that chair.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I feel like Bernie Sanders has served an incredibly important purpose for more leftist politics, in that he is a older white dude. He's a little bit of a more unusual older white dude, but we've been able to launder some ideas that generally come from more marginalized communities and benefit more marginalized communities. I feel like we've been sort of able to get them to the mainstream through Bernie. And it's like, great. But now there are so many talented people that are already in Congress that I think he can absolutely take responsibility for help inspiring and giving a great message. But it's just kind of like, you don't need to be the person anymore because you did so well at making these messages along with Elizabeth Warren and others mainstream.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like he has the name recognition to get you re-inspired again, and he's not in that way, in the way that we mostly complain about how there's a lack of optimism, progressive ideas, like realistic in terms of what Republicans will do and stuff. I feel like Bernie is way more in line with that. And he has that name recognition to get people inspired again to vote. Cause I feel like sometimes I don't know if it's falling on deaf ears, like how disoriented or disengaged youth has become since Biden won because of all the promises that have been.
That's true.
You know, even though, you know, I did read the New York Times newsletter that a lot of things like Biden has done a lot of things to help. And I know that we on the podcast work really hard to remind our listeners that it's not like, oh, the Biden administration is doing nothing and stuff, but they did run on these big, bold promises that that's what excites youth and excites people, is, you know, that populist message. And we're not really seeing that. And I feel like someone like Bernie can re-inspire, but
yeah. And he did, we should clarify, say that he won't run if Biden runs again. And Biden seems to be saying that, like, I'm down to go again, which is also another conversation. They're both too old. Like,
I just can't. I don't understand why people want to have hard jobs when they're 80 years old.
I can't grasp it at all. I don't understand.
It makes no sense to me. But the whole thing that this signals to me is that I just feel like there's this huge gap in the progressive movement and who we have in office, because it's like Bernie and Liz are really the ones that we have that are at the like presidential running level that are like progressive. And then we've got a bunch of really awesome people in the House who I think potentially could run for president at a certain point. I mean, nothing stopping them from running now, but it feels like there's like a
AOC's
real
AOC's not old
gap.
Enough yet.
Yeah, that's actually true, right? She's they're really young.
Age, yeah.
What's
35 is the minimum age.
No. The House representative who's South Asian starts with
Pramila Jayapal.
Pramila Jayapal. Yeah.
She's the
great.
One, yeah, but she's like the one that I can see like most, and like I don't even. I host a fucking news podcast. I'm listening to all the shit I'm reading on the newsletters. I don't even know her name.
Exactly.
So let's see. Like, I'm just like,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is the same conversation that we were having during the primaries, where suddenly every person of color that ran, and then it became every woman, like was taken out the race so quickly. And it became just old white men again, you know? And yeah, there is that gap of like what the Democratic Party stands for and then what actually is executed and all that. So it's real, it's getting weird.
It's getting weird. That's for sure. It's getting weird. Well, hopefully it will pay. I mean, I don't know if I hope he pays attention to our poll, but I'm sure, I guess it was sort of framed in the like, this went out to allies who, you know, if people are asking you, don't say that he's ruled it out, which I'm sure was maybe they was like putting it out there to see how people reacted. And it seems like some people are super interested. But like you said, Millie, like there's no reason we shouldn't have more names that we all know. Mm-hmm. And like he should put his energy behind that like he has in the past.
Especially if, you know, again, sorry, like, we're having these conversations about Dianne Feinstein, and like there's a lot of people with Alzheimer's and stuff, and not to practice in ageism, but it's also like a big part of leadership is making the way and setting things up for after you are gone. And we don't really, that's not something that's important in this country's politics. It's so weird.
You can
weird.
Bet Republicans are doing that. They're making sure that they have a good pipeline and that they are able to maximize their messaging.
The Republican pipeline is crazy. Like they have so many like potential people that are these governors. There's like, there's all the cuckoo crazies that they put in the House and maybe some more that we're going to meet soon. So. Yeah.
They're like, we read your crazy law school paper and we'd like for you to be a Supreme Court justice in 30 years. And then they'll groom you, shall we say. Mm-hmm.
And then they'll invite you to the orgy.
Precisely.
Maybe that's where they're finding all these people, is they're having these orgies and then they're like with the key bumps, and then they're figuring out like, okay, who has leadership skills? Who's really taking charge here?
That's what we really need, is Bernie Sanders just needs to go to a couple more orgies, meet some young people, recruit some people, figure out who's ready.
Precisely. You know, because I don't want him to have to be at the Madison Cawthorn orgies. I think he should have one that's his own.
Yeah, definitely different brands.
I feel like, honestly, you know, let's be honest here. After a Bernie rally, you don't think there's been an orgy?
Absolutely. Before, during.
You know, listen, I mean, I think it's, and somebody, is it probably better?
Somebody met their now partner. Somebody met their partner's girlfriend. Yes. And that is the legacy that Bernie Sanders should leave rather than like a failed presidential attempt when, and I mean, glad he's doing well. I remember he had a heart attack. I guess he was right that it was pretty minimal because we don't really think about it.
Yeah, and he wants to be president at 86. So.
Well, he wore mittens to the inauguration and we completely forgot about his heart attack. So.
For our next conversation is going to shed some light on the fact that I think the three of us will be lucky if we make it to 86, if anyone's sitting on the planet now.
People tune in, Amanda, for the optimism. So let's go.
I want to acknowledge Earth Day when many of you might be listening to this. According to the most recent IPCC report, slashing fossil fuels is critical to keeping temperature rise below 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is about 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. This is not new. We hear this every year. They tell us this every year. They release a report. It's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. They're a global body that the United Nations puts together, and they analyze all this science, and then they tell world leaders what to do. And every year this comes out, and then it gets kind of like memeified. And I kind of like that, but like this year you saw a lot of people trying to do the best, like, have you read the IPCC report memes? I had Elise do one. Mm-hmm. That we'll be posting this
weekend. It'll be dropping soon. You'll be like, wow, dropping the meme soon.
Carbon neutral content. This report really emphasized a few key solutions: reducing the destruction of forests and other ecosystems, restoring them, and improving the management of farms and other working lands. Looking at things like the theme for this year was like, how can we use nature to help nature? Which is nice. We are big fans in this house of not shaming each other's like single use plastic use. Corporations are responsible for most of this. Careless governments responsible for the rest of it. I feel like we can't just like go around and shame each other for forgetting a tote bag when most of this is stuff we have no control over. And we keep voting the way they tell us to elect leaders who will change it. And still nothing has changed. But I did want to take a couple minutes today to discuss like if there are any things that we do that we find kind of work into our lives pretty seamlessly to be sustainable without trying to like, without saying that you have to do all of these things. But I feel like there are some things that I've found recently that like I've practiced enough that they feel effortless. Do you guys have anything like that?
I mean, not to shout out one of our sponsors, but we got the Blue Land products as a result of this podcast, which is like a couple different.
It's so effortless. Yeah.
There are a couple different like companies that do this, but basically it's like you get refillable bottles and then you buy refills. And so you're not just constantly buying new like plastic cleaning products. And I actually have found it to be really good. I think that they last longer than the products that like the little packets to refill last longer than the products that I was using before. And it like, I don't know. I've just found it really helpful. I feel like it's actually more cost effective. I think
it is. I think so too.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do like the big buy of getting all the like actual containers and stuff, but once you're refilling it, it's really cost effective, I've found, because we're tightening our belts over here at the Morales Grow household post tax day. And this is actually one of the things that we like gamed out to be like, okay, this is actually cheaper than what we were doing. Cool. So yeah, there's that. I bring compost to a community garden.
Wow.
And that makes me feel very, very superior for the entire day. Nobody can talk to me all day because I brought my compost to a garden.
That undoes one entire plane ride, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it does.
Yeah.
I think, like, before, I used to go to Trader Joe's and buy a bunch of shit and then take a car home and stuff. And I just got comfortable with not doing that, with going to the grocery store that's walking distance from my house. I love the electric scooter moped program. I'm constantly riding it. I think it's a great way to get from point A to point B in Brooklyn or in Queens. and it's an electric, it uses no gas. Always bringing my own grocery bags. I think trying to, you know, eat more locally. And then, you know what? This is a big thing for me this year, which you could ask Elise. You know, plus size clothing is really difficult, and especially sustainable, like cute clothing and plus size and sustainable is just like really difficult to get. Like when we start talking about, it's either like completely shapeless shit that's not trendy at all, or like fast fashion, like from Shein, that's like $2 and shit. So I started doing Nully, which is subscription, like kind of like Rent the Runway, but they have a good plus size selection. And I feel like that's helped me a lot because it's way more expensive quality pieces and good pairs of jeans and pants and dresses. But also like it really helped me reframe like, oh, this dress is so cute. Like, how many times am I actually going to wear this dress? You know, like, do I actually need to buy this dress, or should I rent something for a wedding and then give it back? You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Like, that has really helped me reframe. So,
yeah.
Nully, if you, Nully, whatever, please sponsor this podcast because I've been fucking speaking the gospel about you.
Blue Land we got. Nully we have to get. Yeah, I do that. I think Elise recommended Thrive Market, which I use too, because it like, it does have a lot of packaging, so I try to save up when I want to order a lot of stuff. But like now I just get like all of my cold brew, like weeks worth of almond milk. One thing that's hard, especially being in the city with getting a lot of reusable stuff or buying in bulk, is like we don't have anywhere to put our stuff. So like there's so much stuff that I want to buy to be able to reuse that I just do not have room for. So when I try to do that, Blue Land. I also, over time, this is also more of like an ethical thing, but for me, I'm just at a place now where I don't think an animal needs to die for me to eat lunch. So like I've been able to, with like ethical intersection in terms of like eating less meat, I totally eat meat. There's no meat I don't eat, but I rare, like in the past 2 years, we just stopped buying bacon. Like, and for me, that was a big thing. I love bacon. I would love to eat it all the time. And like, I don't buy any, we have steak maybe once a month, or we go out to get it, and I have like a no meat until dinner rule. I control the groceries in my home, so I'm able. Mike hates it. Mike would love if we ate pork chops and beef every night, but he's still, his carbon footprint is probably smaller than mine because he like buys one pair of socks a year.
That's to be a man.
Truly. And it's probably still younger, even though all I'm eating is like tofu and beans. But Thrive Market is great. They can sponsor us too. That I also, it's fortunate that I don't like to travel. So I'm sanctimonious about that.
Yeah.
But like not everybody, life is so busy that not everybody can like spend their whole weekend going to every local small specialty business. So those are some really good like examples of things to like. Yeah, I get like whenever I buy new clothes, I get bummed out anyway, because I'm like, I just have to look at this and feel bad about never wearing it. So I definitely want to get more into renting stuff as well.
Yeah, ThredUp I've also used is really good for getting like consignment stuff. They used to have a goodie box that I loved, but they stopped it. Oh, so for a while I'm getting like a lot of clothes from that. But yeah, I really enjoy them. And then I think that's like, you know, as we've talked about, like there are way bigger structural things that are creating climate change, but there are little things we can all do. I love Impossible Meat. That shit's good.
Exactly. Yeah, that shit's good. Wow, hitting all the sponsors.
I know. I had, because they gave me stuff because I was Miss SponCon, and I ate like their meatballs last night, and like this morning, I mean, this might be TMI, but I pooped, and I was like, damn, like, wow, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, I didn't eat meat for dinner yesterday. Hello, regularity.
Well, that's a perfect example of something that it's like an Impossible Whopper, like it really does nearly taste the same. And I know lots of people are working very hard to have more things like that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll pivot now. We have spent quite a lot of time on the culture wars this week, every week, as we always do. But as much as Ted Cruz and Ron DeSantis would like you to pay attention to their gimmicky attacks on Disney and homoerotic ruminations on Mickey and Pluto, we're going to look at Ron's attempt to make Florida an authoritarian state. This is what he's doing is crazy. And Millie, I'm really curious about like what you think these demographics are like in these areas and like what he is actually trying to do. So the Florida State Legislature, we've talked all about what they've done. They're going to basically allow Ron DeSantis to determine the balance of power in Florida. They have done a lot of gnarly stuff, but what they did not do in their session, all of these lawmakers, was come up with something for stronger buildings, as we repeat, and come up with new congressional maps, because Ron DeSantis vetoed what they came up with. They originally proposed a map that added two Republican districts and subtracted one Democratic district. This was not aggressive enough for DeSantis, who vetoed that map. The map DeSantis proposed looks like it will add four congressional districts for Republicans while eliminating three held by Democrats. We know that districts generally favor one party over another. This is, you know, the elections have consequences things. But actually, these Florida maps that were originally proposed were the most balanced in the state's like history for the past 50 years, which maybe just tells you something about how badly they were gerrymandered. And this is probably why Ron DeSantis intervened.
And why he's there in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
And how he became even where he's fucking right at.
I got to keep my job. So the new proposal is going to create 20 seats that favor Republicans and just 8 that tilt towards Democrats. For, you know, for a state like Wyoming, maybe that wouldn't make you wince. But this means the GOP will basically automatically, they're going to win these all. That's why they're drawn that way. Automatically hold 71% of congressional seats. So that's 71% of people that represent the state of Florida and U.S. Congress will be Republicans. When you hear that, that would suggest to you that Florida is 71% Republican. It's actually not. Voter registration, how people end up voting is different, but right now voter registration breaks down pretty evenly. Millie talks a lot about how there are a lot of voters up for grabs, but Trump won only with 51.2% of the popular vote. So you're talking about a huge curve there for Republicans. Crazy. Terrible.
I mean, it's insane that the governor can draw his own maps for elections that he's going to run in. That is like,
yeah, nothing's stopping him from being a congressperson again.
I mean, yeah, like it's just but also like he wants to run for president. He has a lot of,
he wants a friendly Congress. Yeah.
Yeah. He wants a lot of things like he's doing this for himself because for his political ambitions, 100%. So he wants a Republican lock on Florida because he wants to win Florida when he runs for president, which is what he's planning to do unless his big dumb orange boss says he's not allowed to.
Right, right. Like,
well, it's just, God, this is so infuriating because, like, you know, Florida is huge, but it's also like 71% of these seats, like, but it's all from these places that people, like, it's like just like most states where there's the populace, like the majority of the population are in these major cities. Mm-hmm. And as time has passed, these major cities are more and more diverse, have more people of color, have more, you know? So it's like taking away from probably where most of the state gets their money. Like you're talking about,
right.
Yeah, like, These random towns in the middle of nowhere, Florida, getting more political power than Miami, that brings in tons of tourism money, tons of whatever. And like, yeah, it's also, I always bring up that he only won by 32,000 votes. And that's, I'm not convinced that wasn't like disenfranchised right. People. They did pass like the, you know, that law a few years ago that was if you went to jail you can be re-enfranchised and stuff, right. And then Ron DeSantis, you know, which would have re-enfranchised about 1 million people, and Ron DeSantis made it so that they had to pay these fines or whatever, like creating obstacles.
And remember, there was literally, the state admitted there was no way for people to figure out what they owed. There was no exactly. Process.
It was like poll tax 1960 vibes, like where like they make you, like where they're like, oh, we're going to give you a literacy test and then tell you to like speak in like another right. Language. Like,
and these people were incarcerated for bias reasons to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why are they even there? And then they get out and it's like, okay, you have a fee to pay, but there's nowhere for you to find out what it is. Like, it's a trap.
I mean, that's like kind of the, this is the thing that like, makes me, you know, angry or whatever. It's just like, that's the basis. Like, that's what they want, right? Like, they want to disenfranchise. They don't want Black people to vote. They don't want Latino people to have any power or any say, but they still want like all the benefits of having, like, can you imagine Miami without Black or Latino people? Like, it would not be a fun place to visit,
right?
You know,
right,
honestly.
Right.
So it's just like maddening, because it's like, you know, people are, and it's crazy too, just like anecdotally, but I'm sure if we look into the numbers, but as these metropolitan areas get more expensive, like, people are moving into these more rural parts of Florida. So that's even diversifying those things. You know, I just know a bunch of people that went to high school with me that moved to Port St. Lucie, which is 3 hours up. And that shit is like very rural, whatever. But now I'm sure it's very, you know, like, the demographics have rapidly changed. A lot of people after Hurricane Irma, I always say this, moved to Orlando. Orlando is like mostly Puerto Rican right now. Like, the Kissimmee is a very and a lot of people that get priced out of New York go to Florida or South Carolina or North Carolina. So like, all these places are being held by gunpoint. All these red states.
They're like, fighting for their lives.
They're fighting for their lives. Literally. Yeah. And it's so crazy. I'm not sure if there is truly a red state, because even like Idaho and Iowa, during the pandemic, all these people moved there, like Arizona. So I'm not sure there's any pure red states anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and that explains why they're doing this. And so it's very clear how partisan this is. We just went through the breakdown. But Ron DeSantis also appears to be attempting to dilute the impact of the state's Black voters through racial gerrymandering. So this guy, Rep. Al Lawson, has represented a district originally drawn to include several Black neighborhoods. It is not illegal or wrong the way that districts are drawn typically or in the past has been to make sure that people have representation and that minorities have an opportunity to be represented, to choose people to represent them. So now Congressman Lawson's district's going to be completely carved up. It's going to be carved up into two, and it's drawn in a way that, like, he can't win. Basically splits up the vote that would have elected him. Rep. Val Demings, her district's going to be completely eliminated. She's running for the Senate right now, but I'm sure people had already announced their intention to run for that. Her district is in Orlando. And instead of that, they're going to pack Black voters from two districts in Tampa and St. Petersburg into one, creating a second district, basically like carving out all of the white Republicans that they know will elect a Republican to Congress. If this is passed, it could face immediate legal challenges for violating the Voting Rights Act. And because it's just racial gerrymandering, that's prohibited. Also, I think it violates the state constitution in a particular aspect. But it might not matter for the midterms, because all they got to do is get caught trying, I guess, because it's unclear if a successful challenge could even be worked out before November, when we have these midterms, when we're already poised to lose the House. And now we have Ron DeSantis making Florida like an authoritarian state ahead of the midterms.
Well, also, like, for him to target Val Demings and eliminate her district is really interesting and, like, nefarious to me, because Val Demings, I feel like, is on the Democratic side, like, the biggest rising star in Florida as far as, like, you know, she's running for Senate. She has, I don't think she has, like, universal name recognition by any means, but people who pay attention to these things know her. So she's probably, like, as far as someone who could oppose him in the state, one of the top people. And so it is, I mean, she's already running for Senate, so I guess she wouldn't have been running to retake that district anyway. But it feels interesting to me to be like, and now we're going to get rid of the district that created this problem for me entirely.
Yeah, that's such a good point. As you were talking, it's like, yeah, even though she's not running for this, like, the group of voters that chose that super talented lawmaker that has a real future in national politics, he is trying to take away their ability to do that.
Yeah, like, we're not going to let you give us another one of these.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, also, this interesting thing about Val Demings, which is like, going to be, you know, I feel like it's
she's also similar, a cop, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Very similar to Eric Adams in that she is one of those black politicians who is pro-police and is one of those Democrats that could probably, you know, in that way, like is a rising star in Florida because she's pro-police, but she's black and she's a Democrat. So in that way of like being this neutral politician or whatever, has a future in national politics. And even still, Ron DeSantis is trying to like, these people are not, you know, the thing is like Ron DeSantis is not interested. I think you nailed it on the head of like authoritarian government, yeah, because he's not interested in working with allies or creating things or creating policy changes or anything like that. It's just like, let's sue Disney and don't say gay and don't learn about slavery and all this shit and not like, let's make sure our citizens are safe and mm-hmm. how can we make sure that, you know, we work together to form like the best possible representative government for yeah. all of our citizens.
How can we protect yeah. our coastal cities from climate change is something that no. the governor of Florida should be thinking about. But he's certainly not. And it's really like, it's just really sad because as we've talked about a million times, there's real shit that Florida needs and whatever. But it's, I mean, it's happening on the national level too. Like Republicans are gearing up to do this midterms and have it all be based on like scaring people about trans kids and teachers and CRT and all this culture war stuff when it's like, there is a lot of real shit that needs to get done that we should be talking about. And instead, they've already laid the playing field. And I feel like Democrats often walk into this for them. Like Republicans have set the terms of the debate. And the debate is now about like if people talk about being gay at school, is it grooming or whatever? Mm-hmm. And it's like,
yeah, you have Ted Cruz talking about Pluto and Mickey having gay sex on Disney,
which is not proposed by anyone,
which is crazy because it's like, and they're the Republicans are like, it's the gay teachers putting sex in my kids' brains. It's you, Ted Cruz. You're the creep. Stop talking
but
about this.
Like, who the fuck wants to be a teacher? Like, gay, not gay. Anyone who wants to be a teacher at this point, like after the pandemic, like haven't teachers been through enough? Leave mm-hmm. them alone. And that's why I don't feel bad for that bitch, Shia Rakin. I'm like, keep yeah. saying her name.
Yeah.
Fucking lives of TikTok. There, all these Republicans are, you know, and it's just like the entire business model of making teachers like the center of right Republican like media, like. And now we're supposed to feel bad because, like, this woman's identity. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And also, teachers do so much. They work so hard. They get paid so little. A lot of people are leaving. Like, we need to appreciate anybody who steps up for our children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is also, like, Ron DeSantis is banning math books and all this shit. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, I feel like he wants to keep, you know, they want to, whatever, like, hurt public schools and, like, keep American children stupid or something, like,
yeah.
so that they can benefit and they can't recognize, like, poor media sources. I don't know what these yeah. people, like, what does an America that, if Ron DeSantis gets everything that he wants, what does this country?
What kind
look
of place?
Like?
Yeah, what kind of place? That's not a place to have any pride over, in like an empirical sense. I mean, like I said, maybe this will get challenged, and it remains to be seen if it can be blocked before this actual election. Now we will pivot to pop culture, the pop culture segment. Pop Culture Thursdays. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard aren't the only celebrities embroiled in an acrimonious high-profile trial this week. Dylan is handling that for Betches. Dylan is watching Depp's defamation lawsuit. Elise has also been covering it in the newsletter. If you want a podcast to cover it, a little bit. Because there's so much. I covered a little bit. I was so nervous to cover it in Dylan's show. I covered it in Pop Alarm last week just because I know there's years of context to this.
There are years. It's
and
so
I have no,
crazy.
There's no dog in this fight. They're both terrible.
and there's so much context before this, but I know the trial is intense, and Dylan is, I mean, I was in the office with Dylan yesterday. He's watching it all day, and he says that Donnie Jeps is talking so slow and they're just talking nonsense. It's like getting like their diaries for the past 10 years with a lot of gruesome details.
Yeah, I know, like, as we're recording this right now, because a friend just texted me, they're like reading out each other's texts to like famous people. I mean, it's messy.
Yeah, apparently Elon Musk is on the witness list.
Yes, because he used to date Amber Heard.
Oh, he
used to date Amber Heard. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Oh my god.
That is crazy. It's all
she has bad fucking taste too.
Yeah, definitely. I think I agree with their therapist who said they were engaged in mutual abuse, and it's just the case we'll talk about. These are both, so that's a defamation lawsuit. Johnny Depp is suing Amber Heard for defamation. This is about defamation. This isn't like a criminal lawsuit related to any like allegations of abuse, although that is coming up. But another high profile defamation suit that we're seeing is Blac Chyna's against the Kardashian Jenners. We are back, of course. As for the Kardashians, they found themselves in a Los Angeles courtroom as a jury hears Blac Chyna's $100 million defamation case against the family. Some background. She filed this 5 years ago, and according to Vulture, alleged in court papers that Rob was an abuser intent on destroying her after she left him. The complaint says that, quote, in revenge, the Kardashian-Jenner family became a media predator, slut-shaming her on social media and killing her hit television show, which had already begun filming a second season. Rob and Blac Chyna, they started dating. They got a reality TV show together. It was successful, and they had a baby, and they broke up shortly after they had Dream.
Cute baby.
Cute-ass baby.
Of course.
All of them have cute babies, but I feel like Dream doesn't get the recognition that she should get for being a really cute baby.
Well, yeah. Dream is Blac Chyna's baby, so she's not on social media all the goddamn time.
Yeah, they can't make any money off of her. So Rob then shared, this is obviously very acrimonious, breakup. Rob shared naked pictures of her and, according to her complaint, harassed her, and she got a restraining order against him. The Kardashians have also accused Blac Chyna of violently attacking Rob. They did file a lawsuit with regard to that, and it was eventually dropped. Blac Chyna says in this complaint that the Kardashian Jenners interfered with the second season of the hit show. The show is the big thing here. She says that they intervened, they went to E, they shut down the show, and she says there was no good reason to do that because she was willing to do it herself, even though they had broken up, and they intentionally intervened to cause her financial distress and emotional distress. There's also a separate revenge porn case coming up next month, and it's interesting because Rob's sisters are like listed in that as well. So I'm curious to see what role they say that they played. So that's kind of like the backdrop. I didn't know that this was happening this week. I was surprised to see all of this.
Oh, it's all over Black Twitter. First of all, everyone's obsessed with the courtroom sketches.
So that's what we're going to talk about now. The courtroom sketches are incredible. Why are people obsessed with them?
They honestly make Blac Chyna look like Cruella DeVille in the best way possible, because Cruella DeVille's outfits honestly go off. Yeah.
I read, there's a really, really interesting article on Jezebel that I sent to you guys about the artist who did these sketches. And like, she has a background in fashion, which you can definitely tell in the way that she drew Blac Chyna on the stand. Like,
yeah, she appreciated the look. You can tell.
Absolutely. But then what's interesting with this artist was talking about the Kardashian drawings, and this person has done like a lot of famous courtroom cases. And she talked about like, basically that like as a sketch artist, whatever. Either way, she's great. She's whatever she wants to be called. Anyway, in her capacity as that, she often has to, her drawings come up against people's public image, because the Kardashians obviously, like, I mean, more than anyone, only share like polished, edited photos of themselves. And if this were a case that were going to be on TV, like if this was like, because the Johnny Depp Amber Heard case is on court TV, but this one is one of the ones where the cameras aren't in the courtroom, they would probably look a lot different. But instead, like, this is the real them. And yeah, this artist, she talked about, like, I think she was talking about drawing Gwyneth Paltrow and getting a lot of heat because she made Gwyneth look ugly. But she was like, she had been crying and she looked disheveled and her face was all red. And like, she, like, that's how she looked. What do you fucking want from me?
Yeah, it was fascinating because she was like, the reason that people think that these pictures, I made them look bad is because I am not drawing them as you see them. She said to Dresbel, they look completely different in real life. Like, she was, she said that she was going through that in her head because she was like, I know people are going to be jarred by this presentation. But, you know, should I draw them as I'm used to seeing them and, you know, run over those flaws? But she was like, I drew them as I saw them. And the reason people are obsessed with the images is because this is a very rare situation where they cannot control their image. I mean, remember what happened when that bikini picture came out of Khloe Kardashian looking fine and they lost their minds?
And they're like, she really is skinny. And I think, you know what, it's so funny because in this case, like, it is like a metaphor, an allegory to like actually who the Kardashians are playing, because like Kim and the sisters, like they all are like, oh yeah, pro women. And like, you know, Kim's whole fame was like that sex tape. But then when they have a black woman standing up against them and being like, you guys engage in a revenge porn, or you guys have stopped, you know, not to say that Black China is a complete victim or she hasn't done anything wrong. Like, but I feel like in this case, they were fucking bullies. Like, I personally didn't see the Rob Kardashian like naked pictures of Black China.
I saw that the day it came out and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, he posted them to 9 million followers.
Well, first of all, that's not like rare for him. He did the same thing with Rita Ora. He's like, she cheated on me 20 times in a month and she's a whore. Like after they broke up, like this is not weird behavior for Rob. But the thing that I did see was that after she had gave birth to Dream, he like shared pictures of her on the operating table getting plastic surgery. And he's like, you sell your flat tummy tees and blah, blah, blah. But it's like kind of like surgery shaming when it's like, hilarious. Look at your fucking sisters. And then also too, I sent y'all the Bossip like video, but Kris Jenner did, all of them actually did send, they have the receipts of like, they did send, tell E to stop shooting that show. And E did. And those shows are super lucrative. And it is money that she lost. Like, it's true. Like, they did this shit.
It's sick because it's like, that's their niece, right? Like,
that's their niece. Like,
Dream is their niece. Yeah.
She's the only one who gets to be a Kardashian.
And then you're going to hate on Black China for trying to get some brand deals that are maybe not the most ethical out there, but you're going to take away her revenue for her show.
But it's also like, again, they cannot control the narrative. If Black China is the center of the show, they can't control the narrative of like, oh, well, my daughter wasn't invited to this birthday party, or my daughter wasn't this, or like they're kind of bullying me, or like, didn't, blah, blah, blah. Like they can't control that. So they fucking cut it, you know, or like maybe Black China did have a really crazy fight with Rob, but Rob's a dick. Like, it's like they can't control that. So it's really interesting that it came out through this courtroom drawing. But I think this is like this clash with, as we were talking last week with the Kardashian colloquium of like, and how they're the Kennedys, you know, this super image obsessed, whatever. Like, this is one case, just like the Jordan Woods thing, where it's like, first of all, Black Twitter is like coming out and being like, you guys fucking suck. But it's also like, this whole thing is about how Kris Jenner can't control what Black China, whatever. So it's really interesting.
One thing I wanted, and I just Googled it to make sure I was correct, but because I remember watching all the Black China Rob stuff kind of go down in real time, and I forgot that he did a live where he showed his fridge the day she left him, and he was like, she took all the food
out of the fridge. That's really what this is about.
He was like, she took the baby and the food. And I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, listen, are you above that? I'm not.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, come on. I would take the food.
If I bought the fucking food. Listen, one time I moved out of an apartment and I took the shower head.
Did you buy it?
I bought the shower head and I installed it myself. It was the first time I ever fucking bought the shower head. I'll go back. You know, Robbie Hoffman has a great fucking joke about this where roommates like to be like, oh, I don't remember. It's like, is that my pan or your pan? I don't remember. It's like, if you don't fucking remember it, then you didn't buy it, bitch. Yeah. And that's how I say, take the food, take the shower head. I went back. I took a can over. Take the reality show and don't get your hating ass mom to text E. What kind of bullshit is that? Whatever. That's why Black China runs Zeus Network.
There is something to this, the Kardashians, that we don't talk about enough, is that it's like, it's literally you're always calling your mommy for help. Like, you really always got to call your mom. And now here they are. Apparently also Ryan Seacrest is a witness here. So this is a 10-day trial. So this could get even more interesting. And the sketch artist's name is Mona Schaefer Edwards. And she has an Instagram that I encourage you to follow. And she's been posting, like, she also did, like, she has cool ones of, like, Courtney Love. She apparently has, like, an unusual style. So Thursday's obsession is Mona Schaefer Edwards, the sketch artist. That is our show for today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Dieberman.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.